been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Friday, September 8th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a pretty good start, actually, to the day. Today I'm seeing a little rally in the bond market. That helps. That drives interest rates down. And I think there was a pretty big overreaction to the news from Apple regarding China. Apple is bouncing back a bit today. I want to go over that news that really impacted Apple this past week and impacted the indexes. But today you've got the Dow up 57. Apple is a member of the Dow. The Dow's at 34,557. The NASDAQ's up 85, which is a healthy gain for a Friday. That's 60 basis points. It's at 13,831. Of course, Apple also a big component of the NASDAQ. The S&P 500 is up 17, 4,468. The small caps, the only red I'm seeing on the screen right now, they're down 30 basis points. Crude oil, $87 per barrel, up 13 cents. Gold is up $7 to $19.49. The 10-year's at 4.22. It's down 5 basis points today. That is helping the markets. And last but not least, Bitcoin up $267 to $25,900. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. You know, Barry, I wish we still had, in the early days of my show, in fact, for many years, it was a call-in show. We had people calling in and but because we're in so many time zones now in different markets, we can't really do it. But it's fun to take questions, it used to make for some lively discussion. But I don't hear many of the talk shows taking live callers anymore because I think that same reason they're in so many different
You never know, too.
But I would just love to have the financial planning hour Kite. People call in with financial planning. When should I take my Social Security? That was a lot of fun in those days. But, you know, there's so much that I have to say of what's going on in the short period of time that we have.
Especially nowadays.
I guess if you have a question, you can always email us, bill@gundersoncapital.com. Better yet, barry@gundersoncapital.com. If you have any financial planning questions or chartered financial analyst questions. Okay, well, we had another down day in the market yesterday, especially in the NASDAQ. It was down 123. Apple fell more than 6% in 2 days. I think that was an overreaction myself. I don't think Apple's the growth stock that it once was, but by a long shot. But, you know, from what I read, Apple's expected to sell 45 million iPhones in China over the next 12 months, and the government only represents, 500,000. So less than 2% of all the iPhones or all the Apple iPhones sold in China are for government use. And I think it may have a few cents impact on their earnings, but Apple shouldn't have went down 6% in 2 days. It's just kind of that, you know, you get an over-owned stock like that, you get some bad news. Instead of looking into the bad news and what it is and trying to determine the impact, sometimes people will just hit the sell button from an emotional point of view.
What is it? The kind of like shoot and ask questions later, right?
Yeah. But I did update my valuation. I checked it again this morning. 51% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years, which is subpar. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't put new money into Apple at this point in the game, and it's been that way for several months now. You know, the stock is up this year. Let's just take a look. How has it done year to date? Just to get some kind of bearings here. AAPL is up 36% this year. That's pretty good. 37%, but it's kind of hit that area where there's just not a lot of excitement, and the stock shows that in its stock chart.
And that's where and we haven't, you know, the other thing is we have an iPhone, you know, release, right, on, I think, on Tuesday. And so,
yeah.
You know, number one, those things aren't, as you've mentioned, aren't quite as exciting as they used to be, certainly in terms of covered fervor of people standing in line. And then, you know, you have this overhang of course, of the China news and what its potential impact could be for a phone launch. And if you go back in history, I think it was around, let's see, it was around 2018, maybe 4 or 5 years ago or so, whenever, you know, we had the China tariffs, right, and the, kind of the trade war with them. And iPhone had a launch, and it was a pretty disappointing launch, and it took them a handful of quarters to get past it. And I think that's probably what folks are, you know, jumping to a quick conclusion, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to get to that route. Just doesn't know if that's going to really
play
out.
And it still is. I mean, the iPhone still is their bread and butter product. Okay, and then you had Qualcomm get nailed. Qualcomm supplies the broadband modems for the iPhone. It took the brunt of the pain. It got hammered yesterday. I am not a fan of Qualcomm stock. I haven't been for many years. It looks terrible. Broadcom also took a hit that probably was undeserved. You might want to take a look at Broadcom, maybe a little oversold here.
It's AVGO.
Yep, and Skyworks took a hit. I don't like Skyworks. Cirrus Logic took a hit. And then just it spread out to NVIDIA and AMD. The only chip stock, the chip stock of the week is definitely Intel, which broke out again yesterday on rumors that they may have a whale in the boat, you know, for their fab business, a whale of a customer. Okay, the other thing that I think this week was dominated by, and it usually is, Fed rate path. which
right.
path will the Fed take? I get so sick of it.
Well, and you know what's interesting is the percentage didn't really change this week. I've looked at it, you know, and kind of can keep an eye on it. It's right now it's a 95% chance of a hold at the September 20th meeting. At least that's what the folks are betting on in terms of hedging. But when we even have a 56% chance of a hold at the November 1st meeting. So, it's kind of a disconnect between long-term rates and short-term rates,
They've priced in no change at the next meeting, but it's the meeting after that, I think,
right,
that everybody's looking to now. And, you know, the initial jobless claims and price wages going up. There's a lot of strikes going on, too. I'm going to get to that in a moment. I was reading some kind of statistic on how many strikes there have been during the Biden administration. Now, I don't know if there's people within the administration that are spurring these labor unions and whatnot. It wouldn't surprise me. But there's three more now lined up that we'll get to here in a bit. And it remains a tight labor market. And that's probably weighing more on the Fed, I would think, than any other factor right now. The European market, 7 straight days down, 7-day losing streak. I watch, let's see, what is the Europe? VGK is the ETF I look at. Yeah, I mean, it's slid about a couple percent, 3%. Doesn't look very exciting at all, the European index, VGK.
And they're between a rock and a hard place between inflation and trying to spur growth. So
yep.
you would you know, it's just a tough, tough place because where they're at in the market, particularly on the economic side, you would think that would be, you know, good news, right, for rates. But on the other side, they've got,
still have,
you know, inflation issues.
Yeah. Germany came in at 6.1% today. Germany is bouncing a little bit, so I think that was better than expected. We had all the Fed governors speaking. None of them really said anything that was bad for the market. In fact, the market kind of rallied towards the end of the day as those Fed speeches came out.
Yeah, I listened to the Williams. I listened to John Williams in the, I think it was after hours. It was, you know, I mean, basically kind of really reiterating the fact that they are seeing their policies working, right? They may, you know, may have to stay higher for longer, but nothing, but in terms of the data, they maintain that they're data dependent. So.
Okay, well, when we come back, we'll just talk briefly about the G20 economic outlook. Of course, that is up against the BRICS, the new BRICS, which is trying to take away some of the clout that the G20 has. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Why should we be worried about the G20 meeting? Well, that represents 80% of the world's GDP. And there is an alternative. You know, the BRICS are trying to take away the power and the clout that the U.S. has. And so there's a lot riding on the G20. Of course, Xi Jinping is not there. China, Russia's Vladimir Putin is not there. But the tug of war, the biggest fear for the U.S. is should the BRICS, which are adding a lot of countries, don't forget. BRICS is just five letters, but they're adding about six or seven more. Should they be successful in creating a separate economic and financial system, the effects of sanctions will wane. Okay, that's one thing they're trying to get away from, so that they can do what they want to do around the world without any impact from sanctions, because they won't be so dependent on us. And the biggest thing, however, would be the dollar no longer controlling the majority of transactions in international trade. That would really hurt the value of the dollar. Diplomacy has been conducted at the highest levels in 2023 to extend American power. Janet Yellen did a 10-day trip to Africa, and we've been recently re-engaging with Saudi Arabia after earlier we said we were going to make the kingdom a pariah. That was earlier this year. So anyways, that's what's going on there. And the emergence of one country is kind of interesting. I mean, anybody my age or older or a little younger remembers the Vietnam War. Vietnam is quickly turning into a manufacturing powerhouse for American goods and an alternative to China. So interesting how they're still fighting over Vietnam. I'm sure China would like to wield their influence over Vietnam, and we're over there wielding our influence. Wells Fargo says U.S. growth outlook appears subpar for next year. It's been resilient in 2023, but they say the growth outlook for the nation appears to be subpar, with economic red flags starting to appear. We've seen a few. I don't know that I'd call them red flags. I'd probably call them yellow flags. There's some cracks that are starting to appear. Households are bringing down their savings rates and increasingly relying on credit card debt. And, you know, that can only go so far before the consumer starts to really, you know, extend their credit, and then there's nothing left to spend.
And it starts, and then they start paying the bill eventually, right? And that sucks even more spending power out of the mix.
Yeah, and I've seen some of the perma bears out there talking up some of these things. Delinquencies on mortgages, auto loans, credit cards have trended higher in recent months. Wells Fargo says not only have consumer finances worsened, but monetary policy will likely become a progressively more restrictive on a general basis. Because there's a lag to monetary policy, you know. We're starting to feel the effects of it after those draconian rate hikes, which the market feels the effects immediately and reacts immediately. But the impact on the economy takes a little bit of a while. There's a lag, and that's starting to happen. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope for any easing of the monetary policy. So I kind of agree. I mean, everybody agrees. I don't think anybody would say, wow, we're going to really have a cooking economy next year. Things are really, no, it seems to be. Kind of slowing after the sugar high from all of that COVID money. Crude oil's a problem. It continues to be a problem. I've had people write to me saying that we cannot amp up production in the U.S. I'm not buying that. I think we can amp up production. I know that.
Oh, and fracking. I mean, there's in terms of turning things on and off, we've got a pretty flexible, good portion of our, whether it's drilling in the Gulf platforms and or fracking in general, we're able to kind of turn that supply on a little faster,
at least
in particular areas. Just the price has to be right for fracking to make
that
sense.
$87 a barrel, you would think. But I read yesterday that the Biden administration is cracking down on the drillers.
Yeah. No, they don't.
So I can't believe that we're running at 100% capacity. It's just not true. And, OPEC does not completely control. We're the biggest oil producer in the world now, and we could ratchet it up a little bit if we needed to, but I don't see the will to do that at all. Okay, now all these strikes, Las Vegas, you were there last week. How were things in Las Vegas? Was it pretty busy?
I mean, it was pretty busy. I mean, it was, that place always surprised me. It's always different every time you go. Building new stuff, right? And you had plenty of people participating, put it that way.
Well, you know, there's been the SEIU is very powerful there, powerful union. The Las Vegas hospitality workers will vote on September 26th whether to go on strike if a new 5-year labor contract is not worked out before them. It's the Culinary Workers Union 226 and the Bartenders Union Local 165. If they approve the strike, then that will authorize the strike.
And the Uber drivers are real upset there because they don't have, I guess, access to the surge pricing at the moment, simply because I guess they, some of those floods that they had from that tropical storm a couple of weeks ago, put in quote unquote emergency powers, so they can't, it limits how much they can charge, so the Uber drivers aren't happy either.
Well, a strike at the major resorts in Vegas could cause some anxiety. You've got the sports calendar, which includes Formula One racing, Las Vegas Raiders football, the 2024 Super Bowl.
I saw signs for it when I got there. I didn't realize that's where it was going to be this year.
So. Wow, man, that's got to be the fastest new stadium to get a Super Bowl.
Definitely.
And potentially Major League Baseball if the Oakland A's relocate, which I think they're going to. So anyways, that's what's at stake. Now, the big one, though, that's really looming this week is the United Auto Workers. How many times have they gone on strike over the years, UAW, which, you know what, look, I mean, I can remember the late 60s when the Japanese car started coming to America, Datsun, now Nissan and Toyota, and, you know, we had kind of a hold, a lock on the truck. And in came all these mini trucks, miniature trucks, small trucks. and upended the car industry. But the United Auto Workers may strike next week, and they're bracing for that. And then, of course, there's one more here when we come back that's impacting a couple of REITs who are suspending their dividend, and new news on the weight loss drugs. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have a pretty good day going on in the market. It's my opinion that, you know, that news on Apple, I think, broke on Tuesday. Apple went down 6% between a couple of days there, 3 days in a row. The news was that the Chinese government is telling its employees that they can no longer use Apple iPhones. Well, the government phones represent about 500,000 phones. That's a lot of phones. But as a percentage of Apple's total sales of phones to China, which is 45 million, you know, that's about 1% or so of the phones they sell, a little over 1% of the phones they sell to China. So, I mean, it should, maybe it takes a penny or two off of their earnings. So really, I mean, for the stock to go down 6%, that was really crazy. But it had a major impact on the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ this past week. An oversized impact. Okay, then the one other story. Okay, I saw, you know, Seeking Alpha leans very heavily towards income, dividend, REITs especially. They love REITs on Seeking Alpha. I don't know why. The readers love the REITs.
They're yield hungry regardless of total return,
you
know.
Yeah, total return is more important than yield. So anyways, I read an article recently, Hudson Pacific Properties, HPP, a REIT that had got up to 8.5% on their dividend. This was just August 23rd, 2 weeks ago. Well, ouch. This guy said, dividend safe, you know, we'll be buying this REIT. Well, major Hollywood landlord, Hudson Pacific Properties, tumbles after suspending their common stock dividend and blames the ongoing strike. Well, here's the problem with Hudson Pacific Properties. Most of their stuff is in Southern California and in the Bay Area. It's mostly office properties. Number one, they're hurt by COVID. Okay, this was a $38 stock in 2020 before COVID. Now it's a $6.93 stock. Oh, but it pays an 8.5% dividend yield. Yeah, but it's lost $30 worth of its value. What is that, 30? That's about 80% of its value over the last several years since COVID. And people are not returning to the office building. And Hudson owns a lot of properties in Hollywood. this is not good. They own a lot of stages, a lot of the studios and whatnot, where they film stuff. Those things, sound stages, etc.
Those things are dark at the moment.
Yep, they're one of the largest owners of Hollywood studio space. So guess what? Suspend the dividend. Zero. There's no dividend anymore. That's why I've always warned about chasing dividends. Eli Lilly. Okay, listen to this now. And by the way, these two stocks broke out yesterday, and they're breaking out again today. And you've heard us talk many, many times here about these weight loss drugs. The two big names out there in the marketplace today, Wegovy, and Mounjaro. Okay, Lilly wins UK backing for diabetes drug Mounjaro as a treatment for type 2 diabetes. And, of course, it's also being used as a competitor to Wegovy by Novo Nordisk as a weight loss drug. So Lilly breaking out again. That's a beautiful chart on Lilly. Lilly is ranked in the app. It's got to be way up there. Of course, we own Lilly. We're big believers in this whole. It's number 17 rank out of 5880.
Wow.
Lilly right now. Okay. And but here's another kicker. Okay. I was reading, and this makes sense to me logically. Researchers study weight loss drugs in dementia and addiction. That's the one that caught my eye, addiction. Now think about it. These things work on your brain to destroy or to really dampen
your cravings, right?
Your cravings.
Really what you're doing, yeah.
I talked to a biotech CEO who I know, and he says, you know, I've studied these weight loss drugs. If you want to know about weight loss drugs, I'm an expert on weight loss drugs. I said, how do they work? He says, well, you know what? You don't ever want to eat again, basically.
Yeah, or drink. I mean, I saw something where, you know, they were talking about the impact potentially on, you know, alcohol sales.
There you go.
All kinds of different, and that ties into your addiction.
Any addiction, right? Okay, you'll stop going to the racetrack, betting horses.
Maybe quit smoking. I don't know if that's
smoke.
A sensation.
You know what? A big deal. Pfizer had a drug that was smoking cessation.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really go much of anywhere. But, man, I see the potential here. Other neurological conditions. They're studying whether the appetite-controlling methods of weight loss therapies can treat neurological conditions such as alcohol. This would be huge, by the way.
Yeah.
And imagine the cardiovascular benefits of getting people to lose weight, give up drinking, and stop smoking. Now you got my lifestyle, right?
Now it sounds like it sounds like the four food group class in third grade, right? I mean that's the idea.
I've just never ever done any of that, hopefully it'll lead to a long life. We'll see. Usually, guys like me, you know, of course, there's a lot of stress in my industry, but. It's a massive problem. Can you imagine?
Keeps your mind busy, though. I mean, look at Warren Buffett, right?
He's
old.
Yeah. Can you imagine the impact on our healthcare system? How many, health problems? Weight, number one. Number two, alcohol. Number three, smoking. I mean, can you imagine the positive impact? So anyways, the news for the weight. Now, you know, it seems to me like there's going to be risk. I'm sure they're going to find some kind of side effect, right? But any side effects, you would think, unless they're massive side effects,
cost-benefit analysis,
the cost-benefit of overcoming these issues is massive. Now, let's just look at the other one, NVO today. Lilly's breaking out. NVO broke out yesterday. Lilly's getting a boost today because it got approved in the UK. Microsoft in a pact to build the world's largest image-based AI model for cancer detection. So I don't think AI has run its course. You know, yesterday we read about our military and the kind of money they're going to spend on AI going forward.
It's hard for me to believe they haven't been using AI already.
I'm sure. I mean, I've been using AI in my app, you know, for the last 12 years. But this will be the world's largest AI model for cancer detection. Because we know if you can catch cancer early, the chances of overcoming it are a lot greater. And, of course, if you lose weight, quit smoking, give up alcohol, you're going to be a whole lot better off, too. So anyways, I think that's all big news. Now, okay, what was the other one here? Oh, there were some earnings here this morning. It's always fun to see what Kathy's buying. Our friend Kathy Wood is loading up on Archer Aviation. ACHR, which we've talked about. It's robo-taxis. It's basically the leader. If this, I haven't seen one yet. I keep looking for one on the highway flying over me or landing on my neighborhood block or whatever. I haven't seen one yet, but supposedly it's going to be a big deal. Archer Aviation has got some pretty big backers. In fact, a lot of the airlines are involved with them, but they haven't made one sale yet. You know, they haven't, don't even have any sales yet. So you're looking out on that when we talk about that length, what do we call it? Duration, the duration.
Yeah, duration risk is high. Just think in your
very
head.
Very high.
Yeah, just think in your head when you actually think you're going to see a robo-taxi come land next door or what have you, and that's the length of the duration, right?
I'm building a landing pad on my roof so I can travel around, land on my roof, come down through the ladder. But anyway, Stellantis is an investor in it. Boeing is an investor. United Airlines and Cathie Woods is buying it hand over fist. Of course, she's done that with many other stocks that have blown up.
I just wonder. One of her biggest holding, I think.
Yeah. Okay, the stock's up 230% year to date. How much of that has been driven by her buying, and what happens if she starts selling? That's a big problem. These stocks aren't all that liquid. It's like getting into a crowded theater and you can't get out. All right, we'll be right back. We'll take a look inside the market, which is pretty good today. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we actually have a pretty healthy market today after kind of a tough week, really, especially in the tech sector with that news out of China on Apple. I think that hit Tuesday. Apple had some bad days, went down about 6%, which is a big deal when you're in all three indexes, a major component of all three indexes. And the other news was, fear of the Fed. What's new? We're always afraid of the Fed. They wield a big club. They have a loud megaphone.
When they start going the other way, we might cheer them, right?
Yeah, at some point in time. A rate cut. Yes. All right, so now let's take a look inside the market. It looks pretty healthy, but, nothing really exciting. The oil stocks having a good day. ExxonMobil up 1.6%. That's a good chart. That's a really good chart on XOM. Now we're talking dividends, 3.1% and upside potential. I like both of those. And, if you're a chart enthusiast like I am, on top of valuation and momentum, that's a very good, what we call a saucer-shaped chart. That means the stock is being accumulated. And, it's like I've said all year long, I think tech's the number one sector. I think energy's number two. I think we've been pretty right. Here we are, September the 8th. That still is the fact. Microsoft up 1.4%. Last time I looked, that's a tech stock. That's a pretty good breakout. I think there's still room to run for Microsoft on that AI sector that they're the ones that really broke the AI sector loose this year with their release of ChatGPT to the common man, right? I mean, we now... as little guys can use artificial intelligence, AI, which is very powerful for good and for bad, but just using it for different things, that really kind of broke the ice. And then we found out not long after that the engine driving that Lamborghini was NVIDIA chips, and they produced the biggest earnings report of all time that I can remember.
Yeah,
and
you chronicled it.
Yep, Okay. Now, and Apple is bouncing today. It should be. It's up 1%. You had a severe overreaction on a small amount. Well, you'd hate to lose, you know, even half a million iPhones. But when you compare to how many they produce, it's a drop in the bucket. Chevron is up 1% today. That's another excellent chart. Excellent chart. Chevron has a dividend yield of 3.6. So if you start seeing dividend yields up over 4.5, if you see them up around 8, 9, 10, there's something wrong. I had a guy, I've said this before, I met with him in his home many years ago. He was crippled or something, and his wife wanted me to come talk with him because she listened to my show in San Diego. And he had this whole portfolio of dividend-paying stocks that paid 17, 18, 16%. And his argument was, the argument I hear all the time, what do I care if the stock goes down? I'm still getting my dividend. But the problem is, his principal had gone down considerably, like 70, 80%. His wife was trying to talk sense into him. But I got to tell you, I talked to him and he didn't want to listen. So I don't know where his portfolio is today. This was many years ago. He bought into that philosophy. In fact, the number one writer on Seeking Alpha by far follows that philosophy of buying big high. I mean, 7, 8, 9% dividend payers and living off the dividends. Well, you know what? I'm not so concerned about what I make, I'm more concerned about my principal. Principal's number one. Dividends, well, yeah. Interest are number two.
Well, particularly when that dividend yield's based off of the principal, right? So if you're, a 9% dividend, right? If you're, if the principal's going down, well, if you get 9% the next time around, right? Well, it's going to be off a lower base.
There's not a whole lot of difference between that and a Ponzi scheme, right? I mean, you put in 100 grand and they pay you 9% and your principal goes down by 9% every year.
And essentially those are self-liquidating investments,
yeah,
right?
Over time,
if Philip Morris continues that dividend pace or AT&T continues that dividend pace, eventually there won't be anything left.
I'm not a fan. Okay, the loser on the Dow today, I'm kind of disappointed by Boeing here recently. Now they're going to come in at the low end, they said, of planes. But I think next year could be a blockbuster year for Boeing. But Boeing is down 2.1% today. Now, if we go to the S&P 500, the big winner there is Valero Energy, 4.9%. You know what? They're in a sweet spot right now. The refiners are in a big sweet spot right now. Let's look at the dividend yield on Valero Energy, 2.9, almost 3%, and it's a growth stock. Now, there's a lot of factors that go into refining, but right now the factors for the refiners couldn't be better. And that stock is up 5%. Didn't we buy more earlier this week, Barry?
Yeah, we had trued up a
few
positions for some new clients and hadn't had it yet.
That's right. I said, of all the stocks for these new clients, the one that looks the best right now, this was on Wednesday, I want to say.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
We bought, made sure everybody we own it in two portfolios, our dividend and growth and our growth. That's the stock of the day, Valero Energy, VLO, up 4.8%, one of our biggest holdings. You say, well, you guys own hundreds and hundreds. No. We own about 19 in each of those three growth portfolios, 19 to 20. That's it. Like a baseball roster. That's it. And we search for the best of the best. And it takes an inordinate amount of work to arrive at that. And one of those is Valero. And it's being very good to us today. Stock of the day, breaking out on 2x normal volume.
And it's a good offset in the portfolio to some of the tech exposure we have.
Yes, it benefits from rising interest. Okay, what will be the stock of the week this week? Well, we'll see. I've got it narrowed down to several. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, if you're in a high dividend portfolio that's going down, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.